This morning we'll be looking at our speech. It's a very important part of our Christian walk. Words spoken behind another's back. Sometimes we hear, "I just know he's been abusive to his wife. She's so false, you can't trust that what she says is really what she means. Did you notice she didn't even bother to clean up the kitchen, even though she signed up to help? You can't trust him. I know he's stolen money before, and I know all the details." Words spoken in anger. "You never clean your room. You leave your stuff everywhere. It's like a pigsty. I hate you. You're not welcome here anymore. I don't care about you anymore. I don't love you anymore. If you walk out that door, don't bother coming back." Well, these are words spoken too often. And Jesus says that we have accountability. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, he says, "I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment." I don't know about you, but too often there are things that I say that aren't premeditated enough. I haven't considered them before speaking them. And sometimes the careless words are spoken in anger. Well, did Jesus mean that he is going to hold us accountable for what we say, even when we say things in anger? Well, Jesus said every careless word. And I believe that includes those words that are spoken in the emotion of anger. Jesus says we're accountable, but it's certainly not easy to tame the tongue. James recognized that. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit in James chapter 3. In the Bible reading, he talks about this. In verse 2, if you notice there, he says, "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man." Well, I don't know of anyone else besides Jesus who was perfect. And so I think it's safe to say that everyone stumbles in what they say. It's been said that one reason why a dog is such a lovable creature is that his tail wags instead of his tongue. In verse 8 of James 3, it says, "No man can tame the tongue." Verse 5, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And then in verse 8, "It's full of deadly poison." Some of the words that I mentioned at the outset are words that are full of deadly poison that can be very destructive. "Blessings and cursings from the same mouth" in verse 10. So do we just throw in the towel and just let it all hang out? Well, let's let Scripture guide us to an answer to that problem. And I think there's a principle to be had here, that when we have a problem, when we see an issue, we need to go to Scripture to find an answer. We need to seek the Lord for the answers to things that are troubling us. There's a principle that we need to keep in mind, and I think it's laid out here by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And it starts in verse 17 and goes through 26. And that principle concerns putting off the old man and putting on the new. Beginning in verse 20 of chapter 4, Ephesians 4:20, we read, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." So there's a putting away, there's a putting off of something, this old conduct that we used to be just trapped by. And we put on something different, a new way of doing things, some new conduct. Sometimes it might feel good to just let go and let anger take control of us. That's our old self. And it's contrary to the new person that God wants us to be. In Ephesians 4 and verse 23, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And then in verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, nor give place to the devil. Very powerful statement there by Paul. And while it's true that sometimes people need a cooling off period, Paul's words are vital because the longer we postpone mending a quarrel, the less likely we are to mend it. Plutarch tells us the disciples of Pythagoras had a rule in their society. And it was that if during the day they were angry with each other and they said insulting words to each other, before the sun went down, they were to shake hands, kiss each other, and reconcile. That's probably a good prescription for us. Paul knows that people will get angry. It's going to happen. But he says you don't have to sin. It's not a cause and effect. Is he talking about how we control our anger? How we express our anger? Absolutely. He's absolutely talking about how we deal with our anger, how we handle it. And it seems that when we are angry, words tumble out that oftentimes are destructive to other people. Oftentimes we regret what we've said, but it's too late. We've said it. They're spoken, and we have to deal with the consequences of what we said. I submit to you that anger that is selfish and uncontrolled produces words that are sinful and hurtful to other people. Paul also wrote in Colossians on this subject, chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Paul writes, but now you must put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Again, there's this idea of putting off the old man. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. It's interesting that in both Ephesians and in Colossians, anger and speech are mentioned together in the same context as putting off the old man and putting on the new. And I believe, as Paul mentions here in Colossians, that God wants us to conform to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29 and 1 Peter 2:21. God wants us to submit to His will so He can use us, His new person, and even with our speech. Now, there's a prescription for speech of the new man. There's a characterization that Paul gives in Ephesians. There's a particular type of speech, a particular way for us to use our words as tools that are appropriate for the new man, for Christians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. In the NIV version, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So Paul says the litmus test is whether our words are helpful for building others up according to their needs. So we can ask ourselves two questions. One is what I am planning to say going to build that person up? And two, is this what that person needs to hear? You see, when we're thinking of other people's interests, and not just our own, we'll ask ourselves those questions. We'll start to train ourselves to look at other people's needs and then use words that are appropriate for that need. We're thinking of other people rather than just ourselves. Having our tongue trained to serve God and speak wisdom instead of foolishness is valuable for His kingdom. It's what God prescribes for the new man and woman. Let's look at some verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 10 and verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. Let's look at some practical ways in God's Word to control what we say. And as Christians, being the new people that we are, we're to use our words to heal, to bestow life, and to refrain from sin. So what can we do to achieve those goals? Let's look at some things. First, we can guard what we allow into our hearts. Put a lid on it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we can't be naive. What we watch, what we allow into our minds, is going to affect what we think, our attitudes, and what we say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. 17:4. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. 15:14. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. What are we to allow to dwell in our hearts? What are we to allow into our hearts as we remove this lid? It's described in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul says there what we're to think on, what we're to allow in. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We're also to guard what we allow out of our mouths. Again, we put a lid on it. Do you want to sin less with your mouth? Well, talk less. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is absent. He who holds his tongue is wise. If you have a problem lying, exaggerating the truth, gossiping, we can cut down the amount of words that come out and think about them before we say them. Part of the wisdom in Proverbs is this: we don't have to participate in every conversation. Proverbs 11:12, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Before we lash out at our neighbor, before we say words that are insulting to them, he says, a man of understanding holds his tongue. 17:27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, but a man of understanding is even-tempered. Martin Tupper said, well-timed silence is more eloquent than speech. There's some additional reasons for not letting words just fall out. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. And all of us have heard people that enjoy themselves talking. They like to hear themselves speak. And there's a saying that goes, it's better to be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. Be slow to allow words out. Do you see a man who speaks in haste, very quickly? Proverbs 29:20 says, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Some of us, including myself, guilty as charged, hear only a part of a conversation, and then we jump in immediately and we start to evaluate, maybe even criticize. And we haven't heard the full story. Yet we think we know what this conversation is about. And we have to put in our two cents, which may be completely off the subject. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly quickly will come to ruin. Ask yourself, why am I saying this? Again, is it going to build up another person, and does it meet their needs? Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Be slow to allow words out. James 1:19 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Those three things go together. Don't use your words to praise yourself. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you, not your own mouth. Someone else, not your own lips. To use words to praise ourselves is selfish ambition. And in contrast to that selfish ambition, love teaches us to be like Christ in looking to other people's needs, the interests of others. Let's let our motto be from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking the truth in love. To have one without the other is dangerous. If you have just love when you speak, you can gush kindness to everyone, but never speak the truth. Never warn of danger. And sometimes the most loving thing is to tell someone what they need to hear. Or you can also speak just truth without love and brutalize relationships. And we've all been in the situation where someone asks us, well, how do I look today? Very loaded question. But we can be brutally honest with that person and tell them exactly what we think. Well, we need to temper that with love and seek the well-being of another person. Demonstrate kindness and concern for that other person. They may not be ready to hear exactly what we think. In conclusion, how can we make our words a tool for our Creator? We can continue on a daily basis to deny self, to put off the old man. Don't let him take control again. Let's not fall in back into those old habits, the ways of our old self, of letting our words just fall out very quickly. We are new creatures. We're to be like Christ. Guard what we allow into our hearts and guard what we allow out. Use your words to seek the well-being of others by using them to build others up according to their needs. Remember the questions to ask yourself. One, is what I'm planning to say going to build that person up? And two, is this what that person needs to hear? If you're not a Christian, know that God loves you. He wants you to be that new person in Christ. And you can be transformed by the renewal of your minds, by meditating on God's word, by approaching Him in prayer. We can change. We can put off the old person with these bad habits and adopt the new ways of speaking, the new ways of filling our hearts with good things. If you'd like to take that step, you're invited to come forward at this time. If you are a Christian and you feel the need for the prayers of the church, then come forward and we'll pray for you. James says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. How much more powerful are the prayers of the church? The collective prayers of the church for you. All of us stumble and fall with what we say. But there is a prescription. And we need to ask God to help us with that new man, with our walk, and with what we say. And let's pray together as we close. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us and give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to speak words that build up others and that are spoken according to the needs of other people, and that we remain outward focused in our orientation. Help us not just to think about ourselves and to be concerned with ourselves, but to listen to other people, to find out their needs, and then to speak words that meet those needs. Help us to be your instruments here, Lord, on earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever you need, if you would, come forward at this time as we stand and sing.